You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, it's the off season, which means it's NFL overreaction season to every single thing that happens at OTAs and training camp. Of course, will be even worse. And then it all escalates for the preseason. We'll talk about escalating in a second with the Myles Garrett quote. But first, we begin with Deshaun Watson. Big news as he threw an interception at OTA.
Listen, this is every single time.
I'm being sarcastic, by the way, okay? So don't call and rip my head off.
You just don't get it, Vanessa. This is a huge deal. And look, we're going to cover the hell out of Deshaun Watson this offseason.
Watson Watch 2022.
I don't even want to be around anymore.
So, listen, you think you're getting away from it? Sorry, you can't. We won't let you. But Deshaun Watson throwing some incomplete passes and an interception against the Browns defense? Do you think that the Browns should consider bringing back Baker Mayfield?
Mr. ESPN, speak for your pizza over here. With all seriousness, it was funny because there was what I knew would eventually happen, and I'm calling it the shift, right? It's the shift between Houston sports fans defending Deshaun Watson, and it is now Cleveland sports fans, okay? Because whenever somebody in the media in Houston, God forbid, we would say something that was not super positive about Deshaun Watson, we would get berated with tweets like, how dare you, generational quarterback, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, yo, all I did was tweet that he threw an interception. That is now happening with Cleveland Browns fans who, by the way, have not even seen him throw an actual pass in a Browns football game.
But they're all spin zoning it to themselves because they want to pretend like they didn't just trade for a guy who's under investigation for 23 incidents of massage excess, if you will. Yeah, you're so right, Vanessa. I'm thinking back to when the Texans lost to the Colts in the playoffs 21-7, Watson played horribly in that game. He was god awful. And he couldn't pick up blitzes. He looked like he was 5 years old.
Which game is this?
This was the 2018-2019 season. Indy won 21-7, even though the game was in Houston. He played so awful in that game. And I remember I lit him up the next day because I was like, I'm sorry, you're one of the better quarterbacks in the league, and this is how you play in the playoffs? It's pathetic. It's unacceptable. And if you're going to pin, everyone likes to do the pinning it on O'Brien and pinning it on everybody else. But I remember like that was 100% Watson. He blew that game. He was awful, just completely terrible in that one.
And I bet people loved you for that.
People were all, and I started saying, like, I guess we're going to have to just accept that he's not going to be as good as Patrick Mahomes. Like, plain and simple. I mean, Mahomes comes into the playoffs and he looks the way that he did, and people were so mad at me. And it's true because now, no one's going to feel that way anymore. No one, not one person. But things change when a guy does what Watson did, whether it's forcing a trade and or having 23 to soon be 24.
Yeah, possibly civil
investigations
lawsuits
into sexual misconduct.
Quarterbacks not required to speak during OTAs. I believe that changes during training camp. So we've only heard from Deshaun Watson during that one media session that he had, which Stefanski and I believe Andrew Berry were in on as well. Mm-hmm. We did not hear from the Haslams, which I had a huge problem with, but I digress. Some of the other players, though, that are meeting with the media, such as Myles Garrett, have had some different things to say. So we'll play you this soundbite real quickly from OTAs with the Browns.
Deshaun coming here and the allegations he's facing, do you say that's none of my business, or do you feel like you want to try to talk to him about it, clear the air?
It's none of my business. No, that's all him, and you know, whether I see it in the media, whether it's pressed by y'all, you know, I try to keep my nose out of it. I don't try to put my eyes on it. You know, the only thing that matters to me is if he's playing every game or if he's not, and how we can overcome that, and what we need to do is to step as a defense if he isn't.
Okay, so Myles Garrett also saying, I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. Oh, do you have that too, Sean?
Right. Let's
comment on that first. Sorry, I didn't know we had both bites.
On that one really quickly, my big question is with situations like this, as an athlete, are you supposed to have some sort of moral quandary with a guy that's brought on your team that is suspect, especially if he's super talented? I've always wondered about how people feel about that because I don't know how I would be in that situation either. Like, it's a coworker.
It's out of his control.
Right.
I mean,
he's there.
I will say, like, the thing that always makes me cringe is when guys and athletes say, oh, it's put on y'all by the media. Nah, it's actually like 22 women that said something about him. Not mm-hmm. saying it's true or false.
23.
I'm just saying it's not women. You know, it's
soon
not
to be 24.
Up to the media. Myles Garrett also talking more just about how he feels like he's not in the situation to maybe judge number four.
But I don't know what happened. You don't know what happened. No one in this room really knows what happened other than the people that were involved. And no, I can't move one way or another, you know, based on hearsay. So I have to just move with the character and the man that I know from day to day. And no, it's a good guy from what I've seen, from what I've played against and what I've seen in the building. You know, it's not every day that you know you grab you know, your whole office and take them to the Bahamas. You know, you treat them and you know you're respectful to the coaches. You know, from what I've seen, he's walked the right way. And you know, whether he's had a slip up or not, you know, I'm not the judge, I'm not the jury, or the executioner. So I'm here to play a game. And you know, whether we agree or disagree with you know, who he is off the field, you know, that's yet to be seen. But you know, as far as the guy I know on the field, he's special.
Oh, executioner, that escalated quickly. Miles Garrett, hello.
I started thinking about Miles Garrett, but as an executioner using a helmet as opposed to a
like
axe.
If he was on
like when he was trying to club.
Game of Thrones or whatever.
Well, yeah, and like when he was trying to kill Mason Rudolph.
Yeah, that was
funny.
But you know, here's the thing:
Mason Rudolph was terrible, and we all wanted that to happen. It's fine that we can all admit it now together.
I understand that Miles Garrett was trying to get at. This is where maybe a PR team could step in and help him. Not that he cares about PR. Again, he hit a man over the head with the helmet. But, yeah, I mean, him saying, like, well, it's not every day that somebody takes you to the Bahamas, blah, 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 blah. I truly, and this would not be as fun for the media, this would not be good for us personally for content because we wouldn't have the sound to play. It's probably best that these guys just say, he's a teammate of mine, I'm going to play with him, I'm going to have an open mind, I don't know what happened. I mean, because that whole
right.
long thing about...
You're just setting yourself up
right.
for more. And it's interesting in that he is right in that... Technically, nobody knows except for the people
totally.
Involved, but there's a lot of people involved, and how can you not look at it with some sort of a side eye, even if he is your teammate? But maybe you're just like, hey, I've had so many damn teammates over the years because of how bad the Browns have been that whatever at this point, it's not my problem. I don't have any control over it. But it's interesting, too, that he is essentially Vanessa saying, like, hey, well, look at what he did. Look at the money he spent as a vouch for his moral character. Which is interesting because when we were talking about Deion Lewis yesterday,
that really stood out to me.
The person who was setting things up at the spa allegedly for Deshaun Watson via Brent Schrodenberg of the USA Today, Lewis testified in one of the cases pending against Watson that he paid her $5,000 because, quote, he's a nice person, end quote. I mean, it sounds not too dissimilar to what Garrett had to say about Watson as to why he's a good guy. Well, he paid money. If that's as simple as thing as life is, then, I mean, we would all feel great about the Jeffrey Bezoses and the Elon Musks of the world. They're all just nice guys.
In case you missed it, I do want to, so Deion Lewis, according to the 23rd accuser, she ran this massage business. She knew Watson was hitting on her clients and still set Watson paid her
allegedly,
to set up
right.
those. Allegedly, this is all alleged accusations.
The $5,000
sure.
definitely happened, though. I mean, she did,
yeah, it's
she
a
did
cash
acknowledge
app.
It.
It's a cash app receipt.
And he's a nice person.
Yeah, I always had great interactions with Deshaun. Like, not just good. I had great interactions. He was always respectful. I'm one of the only female members of Houston media. But I wasn't there. I don't know what happened. So the entire thing, I think, is going to be awkward, but I don't agree with Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry and the Haslams not making Deshaun Watson available. I actually think, and I understand why they're not doing it, and I understand why Rusty Harden is probably pushing them not to do it, but I would love to hear from him and just get some more, as authentic as he's willing to be, answers about how he's going to navigate this legal situation.
Yeah, I'm curious as to how that's handled, and I just find it amusing that this is how we all act. This isn't just football players talking about their teammates. We all think we know somebody generally until they disappoint us, until they let us down. I would imagine that in some situations, maybe others are a little bit less willing to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. And in this situation, I just wonder why anyone would give this guy benefit of the doubt. Outside of he's good at football and he's just in the same locker room as me. So since I have to either embrace it or say nothing, I guess I'm just going to embrace it publicly and do whatever I can.
It goes back to the situation that we'll be talking about in a weird way with Johnny Depp and Amber Heard, where it just seems like there's a lot that went wrong and none of us know exactly what happened. And obviously it caused a lot of... Yeah, and 5806 on the text line says... everyone says we don't know what happened. Actually, we do. During depositions, you're supposed to tell the truth, so we do know what happened. Well, there's no guarantee that people actually told the truth, which is the point of saying that we weren't there and that we don't exactly know how things went down between Deshaun Watson and these women.
He's talking about just from the perspective of like the criminality, I think, of it. Because remember when it was the criminal investigation, he didn't say a damn thing. But the civil investigation, he has, I guess, spoken up and acknowledged some of the things that he allegedly did, which is also interesting of itself. That's how you can play this if you really want. You can say either nothing or, but in the civil situation, you're going to say something. Weird.
It is very odd, and it will continue to be a major storyline as we expect the NFL to wrap up that investigation soon. At least that is what Roger Goodell had said in the past. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Jimbo and Saban put the beef on hold as to two former lovers. That's next.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we wanted more beef. We really did. At least I did, between Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban as SEC media days continue. But unfortunately, we didn't get it. Once fired up Jimbo Fisher, who I think used the word despicable 10 times, who said basically that Nick Saban thinks that he's a god. Some people think they're god. Yesterday said, quote, "We're moving on," over and over again.
Yeah, we have actually the audio of Jimbo Fisher on this one, and it's interesting that it has just died as quickly as it has. And I'll give what Greg Sankey, head of the SEC, a lot of credit for bringing his two children off to the side and saying you won't get any treats if you continue to act like this. Here's Jimbo.
We spoke very in the beginning, and what he accused us of. You know, we're both saying, we said, it's over with. We're done talking about it, what happens, and we're moving on to the future, what goes on, and try to fix the problems of what we have in college football. We're a lot more pressing needs than our arguments.
There are a lot more pressing needs. He's right about that. I was laughing at some of the tweets that media members had been putting at SEC Media Day that sounded like a quote from The Notebook, which is basically, Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban just passed each other in the hall. No eye contact was made, but their people and their assistant coaches looked at each other in a wondering manner. I mean, it was like, this was like a rom-com.
It reminded me of like high school, when it's like, did you see that? Gave him the cold shoulder. Not sitting together in lunch.
Right. It was exactly what it was. And that was the media members that played into that 100%.
This is so disappointing. Listen, if you're Jimbo Fisher, you had me on your side. The person who yesterday was saying that there's no way you could get anyone to College Station without probably a little extra assistance. And then you back down like this. I wanted him to say, no, I'm done. I'm done with him. I'm never going to talk to him again. I hope he dies. And I hope he dies in hell. Like, I wanted that. And instead, Nick Saban's like, well, you know, I wish I had named any by name. Well, you did. It's over. You can't come back from this. But, oh, no, we're just going to move on. It's terrible. These guys don't get it. They could be a bigger deal than they already are if they just roll into it. What is so...
Lean in, as the female entrepreneurs say. Lean in. Jimbo Fisher and Nick Saban, lean into the dirtiness of college football. We already know that you guys are. Just own it.
What is so wrong with them hating each other?
I think it's great.
I mean, what... It's
great for the sport. It's great for entertainment.
Is this some sort of Southern gentlemanship? Is this some sort of thing that we would see between some good old boys at the country club or something like that? I do declare, I do not know.
Now in the SEC, we handle things behind closed doors. All right, Paul.
Okay. Well.
I work with lunatics.
We could go down to Mobile, Alabama, and we could go have a conversation on a yacht to put this one behind us. I do declare, this is the kind of move we should be doing here in okay, this
now
good
you old just think you're
SEC.
Drunk.
Now, I say.
Yeah, they got a...
turned into Looney Tunes.
They got a call from... There's also that episode, The Murder Mystery, where Michael Scott is like...
There's been a murder,
I do declare. I mean, they got a call from somebody, right? They got a call from Sankey or somebody that basically said, look... it's over. It's been fun, but you're both benefiting from this. I know because
it's the off season.
Some people kill all the fun.
What's funny is the NFL. It's all year round, but college football could be all year round too. You have crazy fan bases who all hate each other. So these coaches are gods.
NFL also doesn't kill the fun. NFL will let people argue about stupid stuff, but then they'll promote it on NFL Network.
But they generally fall into coach speak and cliches. Like, you will never see another coach go after another coach because I would imagine because of the way that job security is, you don't want to burn any bridges with anybody else in the industry. But what bridge would Jimbo Fisher or Nick Saban be burning? They are A-listers in their respective field. Like, of course, if things don't work out for them, they're going to find a nice, cushy landing somewhere else. I hate it. Come on. Let the boys be boys. You know? There's nothing wrong with a little good old-fashioned bleep talking. And I feel like the SEC is trying to act like they're above all of it. No, you're not. You have a conference featuring fans from Arkansas, fans from Tennessee. Nope. You are not above it.
I want a fight when Bama plays A&M. Like, I truly want a brawl. I want a brawl. I want a Malice at the Palace.
You want the kids to fight each other, Vanessa?
Nope. Coaches. But you know what? Let's be honest. Do I want kids? Yeah, maybe. It'd be fun.
That'd be the most watched post-game handshake, I think, in history.
That's a really great point.
I mean, there are reporters talking about how they're getting their coffee or whatever in Destin, Florida. Imagine the actual interaction at midfield.
Yeah. Ridiculous. Also, imagine the entire country tuning into a trial between two former lovers as if it's O.J. freaking Simpson. I am talking, of course, about Johnny Depp and Amber Heard. I'll just tell you this. I know that this is not like a hot take radio, probably good for content. I did not think that this was exciting as other people said it was. I didn't think it was interesting as other people said it
was. Imagine watching C-SPAN for hours.
I think they both sound like they're honestly, like they have some mental issues. There are some videos of him going crazy.
Fine.
There are some reports of her
Using the bathroom
on the bed.
Yeah.
I tried to say it in a more ladylike manner. I don't know who I'm fooling on that. But it just wasn't that
interesting
to me.
It's true. Girls don't poop. I mean, honestly, why was that never brought up in court?
You have not been around me. Yesterday, yesterday, though, it all finally came to an end. Johnny Depp basically won the whole thing. Now, Amber Heard did win defamation on one issue, which was where Johnny Depp's agent had said something about her. So she won $2 million, but Johnny Depp won 10 to 15.
Right.
15, right?
Which there's no way she's ever going to pay because what the hell is she going to be put in movie-wise going forward, much like with Depp. Now, Depp, what's interesting about this is maybe Depp starts being back in some of the films he was in before because he was supposed to be in, I guess, the most recent of the Harry Potter movies. I haven't watched the last two. I'm not really into the Fantastic Beasts saga.
Professor Patronum.
But he was Grindelwald, and then he just got taken out and replaced by the guy who's the bad guy in Casino Royale. Le Chiffre.
Yeah, this may actually help his career. Everybody was really, really excited. There were a lot of memes. There were a lot of gifs.
I don't get that. Like, there's a lot of celebration for Johnny Depp. I mean, honestly, I just like what, and I think you're on the same page as me with this, Vanessa. I just like two people that are extremely rich and famous having their personal lives exposed for the entire world. Like, that's what was best about this. It's not about who won to me.
It was just not overly entertaining. Like, I think they were bad actors on the stand. I think they were both lying, and I just thought that it was dumb. So sorry for the lack of content.
Depp did have some amusing moments, but
but they were very Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, watch Pirates of the Caribbean if you want his snarkiness.
He was a little Jack Sparrow
at times.
Yeah,
he was just basically being that on the stand.
Dumb. He's a good character.
Also, it's hard for me to get juiced up to watch this when, like, oh, they're just going to have to pay each other. I want prison time on the line.
Yes, thank you.
I need it to be a criminal. Like, I need it to be Casey Anthony.
Right.
Well, no murder at the very least, which we have agreed on this show, is mean in that situation.
Very mean.
But she didn't do it.
But thank God, you guys, I do want to make clear that somebody very important commented on this.
Who?
Trevor Bauer. Thank God, right? Because I know that we were all waiting for Trevor Bauer's opinion.
Because we already were going to get a million think pieces about this.
Domestic violence. So here's Trevor Bauer's tweet. It took 4 years of torching Johnny Depp's reputation over false allegations of abuse to get to today, but he has finally been vindicated. Thank you to the jurors in this case for rightfully holding Amber Heard accountable for defamation. Hey, Trevor Bauer, bud. You're irrelevant for at least 2 years, and you're probably never playing again. Sit this one out, honey.
He loves projecting, and this is how he does it. He projects through Deshaun Watson, and he projects through Johnny Depp versus Amber Heard. And look, this has turned into like a big think piece about defamation and like what we can't let people get away with defaming somebody else. And okay, I suppose that there's a point to be made there. And there's a lot of lying on Amber Heard's part. I feel like if anything, this should be about just one person being a liar. But can we spare ourselves with the think pieces? Who cares about these two rich people? Yeah. They're two rich and beautiful people who have enjoyed life. I like to see them stuck in the mud with us.
And you know what? Johnny Depp, I think, left his wife for a younger Amber Heard. So you know what? Maybe don't pursue crazy. I'm not victim blaming. I'm just saying that's how it is.
Well, how do you know, though that Amber Heard's crazy? I mean, before the poop on the bed.
I think it's pretty obvious that they both have some issues, I said.
Would you be able to see those issues, though, at first glance? Like, what do you look for generally when you see a guy? Where do you first determine that person could potentially be crazy?
Paul's getting defensive over Johnny.
I'm not
Depp.
Being de- no. I'm genuinely curious. I'm not. I don't give a damn about him.
I don't know.
I think it's a lot more difficult. What I'm saying to determine whether or not someone is crazy for a while.
Well, I just had this. No, you're right. I just had this conversation with my mother, who's a therapist, the other day about how we're so hard on ourselves in hindsight because we say, "I can't believe I went out with that person." There were maybe a few red flags. You don't really know until you know. Now, once you know, if you keep hanging on, it's your problem. But to your point, yeah, I mean, I guess neither one of them had a way of knowing that they were mentally incompetent. Yeah.
The only thing that this has done for me, I think, going forward, just if I am going to have a grand takeaway, is that I believe everything less. I believe everything that is presented to us even less. And it's why it's great that in this Deshaun Watson situation, there are so many cases against him. Like, I don't feel uncomfortable saying, yeah, he probably did something awful. Where in this situation now, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to believe anymore. Like, is anything real? Sorry to get all deep and meta, like I just took a bong hit. But, like, it's one of those things where, I mean, she had that big think piece, or excuse me, like a big piece about how she had been abused and stuff. And she puts it up there. And I guess I'm like, all right, well, bring the receipts, bring the documents next time.
She did
know.
Have some videos, but he also had some evidence as well. And then, of course, his ex-wife testified for him, and there was a lot of that. But just totally uninteresting to me. I'm glad it's over. And the next time that the nation is that focused on a trial, I'm sorry. I want it to be something O.J. Simpson-like. I'm not saying I want somebody to die.
Yes,
but
you are.
I want somebody – well, I want somebody high-profile
– I want a Bronco chase.
Who has done something unexpected.
I want the Rockets in the NBA Finals to be interrupted on television again.
I mean, I would take it if the Rockets made the finals. Yeah.
Yeah. You'd be one that would actually turn it off the trial for the Rockets.
Yeah, though. I'd be like, what are they doing? Come on, it's the – There's some big Kevin Porter Jr.
Luck.
Minutes happening.
God, that's like the Heidi Super Bowl.
The Jets Raiders game in the 1960s. It's the end of the game. One of those teams was winning. I think it was the Raiders, and they turned it off to put on Heidi, and then the Jets won, and everyone lost their mind.
That's one of those stories you hear every year during Super Bowl week
Jets.
That I actually like. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan, it's you guys' turn to make fun of us. We are going through media pet peeves plus. Is David Tepper the most moronic owner in the NFL?
Gasp.
That's next.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. Welcome back to Vanessa and Galant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Galant.
The media. Everybody complains about the media.
The liberal media, Rust Bowl.
All the time. And we get it sometimes in sports media. But, Paul, there was a video that stood out to you that I do think is worth talking about and that reminded me, unfortunately, of ourselves sometimes.
It does happen if you're in your reporter's shoes. You can't say that you've never done this. I know for a fact I've done it. This is just a reminder to never do it. So we've all been killing to death the Tommy Pham versus Jock Peterson, a conversation about baseball that's really about fantasy football. And yesterday from Tommy Pham, we learned that Mike Trout is actually the commissioner of this league and that perhaps he is bad at being a commissioner. So Mike Trout, extremely interesting baseball character that he is, wink, wink, was asked about his role in this war of words and a slap yesterday.
It's just one of those things that, everybody's competitive. Just, everybody loves fantasy football. Who doesn't? So.
Have you been caught off guard with this, like, a week-long story now?
I think it's you guys dragging it on. So, you know, I talked to Tommy, I talked to Jock, you know, everybody in that was part of it, you know, just passionate about fantasy football. So.
You still going to resign?
What's that? Am I going to resign? I haven't made that decision. I don't know. But every commissioner I know always gets food.
It's pretty bad. That's pretty bad.
Baseball writers are, look, I hate to stereotype an entire group of people. There are some I like. I like Ryan Divish of the Seattle Times. I'm not going to act like I know the baseball writers in Houston very much. All I know is that I paint with a broad brush when it comes to these people. And hearing those chuckleheads laugh at boring-ass Mike Trout, who did not say anything funny, as if he's Dave Chappelle at a stand-up comedy special, that to me just makes me cringe so much. I want to curl up in the fetal position, Vanessa, and hide. What are you laughing at? What is funny there? And I know I've done it before,
yeah,
so I'm a hypocrite to call it out. But guess what? This is why no one likes baseball writers. And Mike Trout, boring. Like, that, all of that was boring.
I witnessed this a lot with J.J. Watt. And here's what would happen. We would all be in the media scrum, which is the area around. We would all have our microphones up. And
boxing people out, trying to elbow them.
Just a little bit of, the huffy puff. And you realize that a lot of media members do not wear deodorant.
Nope.
But he would say something, and you're so hyper-focused on that athlete. You need a good soundbite. And you're just looking at them, and honestly, like, the spacing situation is kind of awkward, especially in your locker room, and maybe they're sweaty with their shirt off. So what I witnessed with J.J. Watt is J.J. would say something, and J.J. says things that are clever. You know, he'll make a movie reference, but it's not that funny. And J.J., to his credit, would probably admit that it's not that funny, and it would just be like, and then everybody on Twitter would be like, J.J. Watt just made a joke about Parks and Recreation, blah, 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 blah. I mean, it was... I witnessed it a lot. And yeah, I mean, the amount of laughs that that Mike Trout got yesterday for
so boring
saying those things was, I'll say, maybe a little aggressive.
They should remove from his wins above replacement because of how boring he is. Like, there should be points taken
away
from
it. You've always said he's boring, though.
Yes, he's just, listen, it's nothing against him. It's not his fault. But I've just never found him to be that compelling. Oh, he's an all-around great baseball player. Great. The Angels suck. I don't care. And the other thing is here, too, to go back to what you were saying. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to listen to. Someone this is funny. I can't say his handle, but all things matter. Like, when you laugh at anything Vanessa says, do I sound like a chucklehead whenever I laugh? I like to think that I'm a genuinely warm person.
Wait, no, you laugh when you mean when you laugh. I mean, I have a real laugh and a fake laugh, and you can I mean.
So what's your fake laugh? So I know.
My TV
laugh.
When
will I know that you're faking it with me?
My TV laugh is.
Oh, God. That just sounds.
My real laugh is, we'll say, heartier.
When you actually laugh, it's
the rails.
It is a little bit like a donkey, no lie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I like it. It's endearing. That laugh right there, I never want to hear it because I feel like you would be laughing after making fun of something I'm wearing to brunch.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Brunch.
You wore a Kenny Flowers shirt.
At brunch.
At brunch.
We have a new maybe dumbest owner in the NFL. I say this semi-sarcastically because this isn't that big of a deal, but just let me walk you through this. So David Tepper is the richest owner in the NFL, right?
Owner
of the Panthers. And he is now in bankruptcy, ..
What an idiot!
Sort of.
Not totally?
No. So he had to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy. What happened was He assigned the task. This is for per Pro Football Talk, by the way. He assigned the task of building a new team facility to the real estate development company that he himself owns. Well, the project is now abandoned, so now he had to take that real estate company into bankruptcy. So his entire fortune isn't bankrupt, but he had to file Chapter 11 bankruptcy for this because the efforts imploded to build that new practice facility in the headquarters, which would have been in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Liabilities in the range of $100 million to $500 million and up to 49 creditors. So there are other people that will not be happy about this as well.
Okay. So
just between
business,
just between the Matt Rhule hiring, the amount of money he gave Matt Rhule, this certain roster decisions, I don't know if I want to say he's the dumbest, but he has the most money, which you think would be able to buy some wins and opportunities. Yeah. And it's just not happening.
Yeah. You have all this money and you make a dumb decision. Idiot. Meanwhile, me, you know, yeah, I have an IRA. I have a portfolio with dividends and business. Yeah. I have a briefcase.
The market.
The bull market.
Wolf of Wall Street.
But you don't want it. The bull market's good. The bear market, that's not good. Dave Tepper, do you know what that is? Because I sure do.
Yeah, Paul's bragging about the fact that he knows a lot about business.
I am, you know, known by many to be just a very wealthy business connoisseur.
Yeah.
Issier. And, you know, people ask me for advice all the time. You know, because I'm like a high roller. I'm like Tommy Pham in Vegas. You know, I'm putting down like $5 from time to time on the penny slots, you know?
NBD.
Oh, yeah. And like, Dave Tepper, if you ever need some advice for a small fee, I'll help you out, you know, so that you don't get bankrupt like an idiot again. It is sad that this is who we are, right? Like, this guy who's got more money than anybody, it does sound like, yes, he totally biffed that.
He just makes bad decisions repeatedly.
Must be great to be able to do that. I'm just jealous.
TheAthletic.com says it's actually not an NFL issue because the company declaring bankruptcy is separate from club ownership. So in a way, you could argue maybe that was smart for him to put it under his company. I just think that if you're the richest owner in the NFL, like you are richer than the Maras, than the Krafts, than the Irsays, than Jerry freaking Jones, and you can't make certain decisions right, I think it's proof that money just can't buy NFL wins.
It is tricky because when Bob Kraft first took over the Patriots, he was very, very, very hands-on, and it led to Bill Parcells quitting on the team before a Super Bowl. He left them for a division rival literally the day before the Super Bowl. That was the news that was going on, and that was 1996. I can't even imagine what it would be like in the Twitter generation where if a coach was leaving his team that he had taken them to a Super Bowl with. And then as time progressed, he got better at standing back. But you also have to hire the right people, and it's the most inexact thing in football, like hiring a head coach. Matt Rhule, by all conventional wisdom, having won first off at Temple, but then going to Baylor in the wake of, you know, Art Briles, what he had done to that program and helping turn Baylor back into what they've been over the last couple of years. I mean, it's pretty remarkable what he did. It did seem like that was a smart decision. And then they decided to allow him to go all in on Sam Darnold, which was just stupid. Like that. And it does happen. Like some of these guys who are very smart business people, they believe that that is going to mean that they're great when it comes to operating this very inexact science of sports.
I will give him credit. He seems to care, unlike other NFL owners and sports owners in general that just say, this is a bankroll opportunity. I'm going to sit on the sidelines. And a simple twist of fate, had Deshaun Watson chosen the Panthers, we may be having a very, very different conversation about David Tepper. But definitely strikes me as somebody that is proof that having the most money isn't always going to get you the most wins. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, if this woman gets cheated on, then I have no freaking hope. Plus, our garbage time segment. That's next.
ESPN 97.5. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, we're rolling along on a Thursday. Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you. Vanessa and Gallant is the name of the show. Love doesn't always last. We've seen this with a lot of marriages, particularly celebrity marriages and relationships. But if this woman really got cheated on, there is no hope for me. And I say this, Jeremy Branham, who you will actually hear next with Joel Blank, tweeted out this, quote tweeted, Shakira got caught, or Shakira caught Gerard Pique. I think it's Pique, Pique? Do we know?
Gerard Pique.
Gerard Pique, her longtime partner who she has two children with, having an affair with another woman. That woman turned out to be the mother of young Barcelona star Pablo Gavi. Gavi is unaware of the incident.
So are they teammates? Is Pique someone who plays for has played for Barcelona? Because that would be something else.
Yeah, he is a Barcelona legend.
Okay.
So, he's 35 years old.
So there must have been some sort of meet and greet. And, right. And he saw that.
And they found out.
Kid's mom.
Jeremy's quote
mom.
Was funny, though. He said, it's safe to say Gavi is no longer unaware of the incident. So if Shakira yeah. gets cheated on, that's a problem for women around the country. Around the world. How are you going to cheat on Shakira? Have you seen what her body can do? I date men, but even I'm in awe.
Her hips don't lie.
They really don't lie. I mean, when she and J-Lo performed at halftime of the Super Bowl, these are women in their 40s and 50s. Me and every woman across America were clutching the fat on the bottom of our tummies. Like, these women bow down. You're going to cheat on Shakira? What is wrong with you?
I mean, he's downstairs, and he has a mind of his own.
And this is from a report from El Periódico. Several neighbors in the building have seen Pique entering and leaving over the past week. It's also said that he's been enjoying the Barcelona nightlife a lot.
Okay.
So apparently his partying has gotten out of control.
I heard the Barcelona nightlife is amazing.
Stop trying.
I messed that up. It's Barcelona.
It's Barcelona.
FC Barcelona.
Wait, with a lisp?
No, that's not a lisp. That's the Catalonian pronunciation.
Venice.
Right, yeah.
Okay, I at the risk of sounding dumb, we'll just say Barcelona.
So Barcelona used to be like separate from all of Spain, and there's this big deal between both all of Spain and Barcelona because Barcelona got the Olympics. It's funny to say it over again, right? Barcelona got the Olympics, and they got the entire city like essentially renovated while Spain was dealing with some really hard economic times.
Yeah.
And it's also essentially was its own separate little country, little territory, little nation that was different from that of Spain. So there is a little bit of a back and forth between them.
It's time for history with Paul Gallant.
Sorry. But yeah,
if Shakira gets cheated on, there is
I think you're selling yourself way too short here. Look.
Paul's being nice to me, guys.
This is all long-term relationships. I mean, it's a massive battle to maintain sexual interest in your partner, right?
I don't know. I dated a guy for 2 years in high school, and that's been my longest relationship. Heyo.
You can love somebody.
Good over here. Good a relationship.
you can love somebody.
Afraid of commitment.
See, I mean, but I'm the same way. You can love somebody, have feelings for somebody, but like the sexual thing is weird. Like, you don't really have as much control over that. And some people are great at doing, you know, being able to uphold their spousal commitment or something like that.
It's like Earth, Wind, and Fire says, but what do you do after the love is gone?
I don't judge. And I mean, it's not like my parents just split up. Like, there wasn't anything that caused it. But I have had friends who have, you know, I guess let temptation, if you will, get the better of them. And I just don't judge, you know, as assuming that no kids are hurt along the way. And I'm just hoping that whatever kids that he has with Shakira are old enough now where it's not going to be traumatic. That's really the one thing that I would look at here. And I have no idea how old the kids are. So, I'm not – if those kids are like 12 or 11 or something like that, like if they're my age, I would be – This definitely would affect
somebody.
Somebody
said, "I bet dating Vanessa is a bet date Vanessa is a menace." I wouldn't say a menace. I just, you know, high standards, guys. But yeah, Shakira, what are you gonna do? Go get you a nice Texas guy, right? All these guys are gonna get Shakira.
Yes,
I'll treat you right. I'll treat you right, Shakira.
Hey, Shakira, you can be my she wolf.
Yeah,
whenever, wherever, brother.
brother. All right, it is time for our garbage time segment.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
All right, going to start things off on a positive note. 18-year-old Coco Gauff has become the youngest woman to reach a tennis major final since 17-year-old Maria Sharapova, which was in 2004 at Wimbledon. Good for her. This is cool.
Do you know? And as someone who doesn't pay a lot of attention to tennis, it's not a physical sport. Not a contact sport is what I should have specified it as. Does she make noises when she hits the ball?
Yeah, she does.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they all do. But it's cool to see somebody so young on a national stage do really well.
I've always wondered this, and I'm not trying to make fun of it. I've always wondered if that legitimately gives you more of a, if you can hit the ball harder if you make a noise while hitting it.
Well, I think that if it didn't, that not, you know, so many people wouldn't do it, right? Because they all do it.
Well, Maria Sharapova did it. I know that the Williams sisters did it. Sharapova did it. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was very aggressive.
It was like, whoa, okay, relax.
Right. All right, we've talked about it on the show. Meanwhile, Johnny Depp is awarded $15 million. Amber Heard is awarded $2 million in those defamation / libel cases. The internet went nuts, and I personally am hoping that we never hear about any of this ever again, because I think they're both psychotic.
Well,
most likely.
I actually want to know how Amber Heard's going to get the $15 million. What is she going to do?
You don't think she
has
savings?
No, not $15 million. That's a ton of money.
Yeah, that is a lot of money.
You're an actor. You're not making that. And she's never been the kind of A-lister that's going to command that amount of money for a movie. And she's never going to do that again. I mean, the biggest movie she's been in, she's been like one of the leads in Aquaman. She's been in Pineapple Express, but I doubt she was getting paid a lot for that.
She was in Pineapple Express.
I honestly don't know. She hasn't been in that many things.
That's why if I were a famous Hollywood actress, I'd probably like just marry a plumber or like a bartender, somebody that would cause me no drama, that wouldn't
cheat
on me. You say
that. You don't want to get Gerard Piqué.
No, I don't want to get Gerard Piqué.
You want to find your own Kevin Federline is what you're saying?
K-Fed.
Also, upon a quick celebrity net worth search, Amber Heard is worth about $6 million.
Ooh, yeah. She's going to struggle. How's she going to pay that? Johnny Depp, I think, will have...
9 to 5.
Actually, I misread that. She's worth negative $6 million. So I imagine it already took in the $15 million.
Yeah, they probably did.
Good job by that website.
Johnny Depp, very cocky on the stand, very Jack Sparrow-ish. You could tell they both had their acting shoes on. She was crying, and she had zero tears coming from her face, and then he just looked like he was cocky the whole time.
It'll always be the day you almost caught Jack Sparrow.
There you go. Meanwhile, Jada Pinkett Smith
You thought the media laugh at
you may
my trap was
a
bad,
dreamer.
Vanessa. This is
pretty bad. Jada Smith going all John Lennon Imagine. She wants the world to heal. She really does.
Here she is.
And here she is talking about healing.
Mm. Now about Oscar night, my deepest hope is that these two intelligent, capable men have an opportunity to heal, talk this out, and reconcile. The state of the world today... We need them both, and we all actually need one another more than ever. Until then, Will and I are continuing to do what we have done for the last 28 years, and that's keep figuring out this thing called life together.
Together.
Doing what we've done. You mean cheat on each other?
Together is in quotation marks, because I don't think that Will Smith is as together with you.
Where did the Smiths get this inflated sense of importance?
Because the media has kissed their ass for their whole life, and some people were actually cheering Will Smith after he slapped the bejesus out of Chris Rock in front of the entire country at the Oscars.
This is what Joel...
so courageous.
This is what Lance Erlein and I were talking about as we transitioned shows. It's like, why does everybody say everything needs healed now? Why does everybody need to heal?
Because
nobody needs to heal.
These are unprecedented times.
Yeah, it's been tough times. I don't know if you've heard. It's been tough times
unprecedented times by a Toyota.
We're in it together, though. She is
God,
right.
God, we are not in it together.
We need people.
We're in the opposite of it. Everyone is out for themselves
on
at all
every
times.
Every issue involving COVID, guns, healthcare, and money. And
Jada Pinkett Smith's sex life. She's
right.
On her own.
There is nothing about it that we're in it together.
No, you're wrong. Will Smith and Chris Rock can solve inflation. You don't get it. You just don't see the big picture.
They should do like an Imagine type video where they're like singing some heartfelt song or something.
I mean, for her to say... These two incredible, intelligent men need to heal.
I need Chris Rock to come back. I need the retaliatory strike, okay? He bit his tongue at the Oscars. That is the most... That clip that you just heard from Jada Pinkett Smith is everything that everyone hates about Hollywood. And if Chris Rock is not coming with a just complete uppercut back at them, I will be disappointed in Chris Rock forever. And I feel like we should have to challenge his actual status as a comedian.
We might want Houston football to be good at one point, but that will not happen in the USFL. The Houston Gamblers are the only team. They're 1-6 that have been eliminated from the playoffs.
There's another 1-16 that hasn't been eliminated. So imagine that.
I mean, even though this is happening in Birmingham, it's the most Houston football thing ever. All right, up next, you got Joel Blank, you got Jeremy Branham, the Killer Bees from 12 to 3 on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Thanks, guys.
Peace.